As the Lord might help this evening, I will direct your attention to the chapter that we read. Now that is the Gospel according to John and chapter 9, reading the verse which says, "One thing I know," that 25th verse, "One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Behold, verse reads, to verse 25, "He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." The miracles which the Lord performed when he was here upon this earth are still being performed, not in the literal way, but in the spiritual way. Eyes are still being opened, ears are still being unstopped, lame people are still being enabled to walk in the Lord, and so hearts are opened to receive the good things that God communicates. That which is written aforetime, therefore, is written for our learning, that we, through comfort and patience of the Scriptures, might have hope. The case of this man that was blind from his birth is perhaps well known to you all. But there is much that could be considered, as we may have the help of God this evening and enlightenment in regard to the depths which couch beneath. Come, the verse that I have read is, as it were, the crux of the whole matter. It is a focal point. "One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." The neighbors and the Pharisees were both blind, it would appear. And they could not see what this man saw. They did see, but not with a right sight. "He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not." The people, the Pharisees, particularly, were saying that he was not, many of them were saying that he was not a good man at all, the Lord Jesus, because he had effected this cure on the Sabbath day. And so there was a division. There's bound to be a division in every generation concerning who the Lord Jesus Christ is. There was much speculation regarding to his personality and person when Jesus was here upon the earth. Some said he was a good man, some said he was of the devil. Some said he appealed to them, others had no time for him. And so it is today. But this poor man that was born blind had a miracle worked upon him. We want to mix, as God may help, the spiritual and the natural as we see it here. The man himself was blind from his birth. Spiritually speaking, Every one of us are in this category. We are blind from our birth. We do not see things at all. We do not observe Jesus Christ at all. And no doubt we can all, if we consider the matter, go back over a few years or more years and confirm that though we heard of Jesus Christ, yet that name meant nothing to us. Though he was a man that went about doing good, yet it meant nothing to us. Growing up from childhood into adulthood, yet was there a change? Well, there is an appointed time to be born again of the Spirit, but we need to emphasize the man was blind from his birth. He was blind naturally. He was also blind spiritually. If we have sight, and therefore we have reason to bless God that we have sight, that is to see things around us, but we may still be blind otherwise. Some years ago, I had a man in a congregation, and he was blind, but he said he thanked God that God had given him spiritual sight. In one sense, it is preferable to be blind naturally in order that we may see spiritually. This man was the object of the Lord's pity and compassion, and not because he was blind, insomuch that through this man a miracle was to be performed. A question was asked, which is often asked when calamities come about, and his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now, this does not mean to say that the man was not a sinner, or that the parents were not sinners, but they were trying to pinpoint, as it were, some particular sin, and therefore, as it was in the parents, so a retribution was fixed upon them in the blindness of their son. But the Lord Jesus Christ clarifies the point when he says, "But that the works of God should be made manifest in him." We might well examine some of the points arising in our lives. And it may be there are times when God makes it clear that his chastening hand is upon us for this or that. But there are other times when it seems strange that such things should come upon this or that person. Well, if affliction comes upon us, if adversity comes upon us, whatever that may mean to each of us, let us not forget this, that the works of God should be made manifest. There are times when affliction laid upon the body has been used of God in bringing about that situation where, again, under the power of the Spirit, there is a felt need of Jesus Christ. Naturally, nobody feels a need of Jesus Christ. They do not feel a need of a Savior. They do not feel to need him because they can manage things themselves. And then suddenly something comes along. There are occasions when God's people even come into what we call accidents. Well, there is no accident with God. And some could speak of so-called accidents which have been for no other reason than that God should be made, that God should make his work clear, that his glory should be revealed, that there should be a benefit and blessing to the soul, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And it is worth noticing this preposition in him, not outside of him. It was not just an outside experience of suddenly receiving his sight, but evidently there was some sight spiritually that he received at the same time. The Lord, when he was here upon this earth, says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as a person is blind, it may shine ever so brightly, but the light will never be seen. Jesus Christ here speaks of himself as being the light of the world. Not the only time does he mention this. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. This was a supernatural work of God. It seemed irritating and without much purpose to Naaman the Syrian, that if he went and washed seven times in the Jordan, that he would be healed of his leprosy. Here again, we have a washing in the pool of Siloam, anointing the eyes with clay. And yet, in both cases, there was the glory of God revealed. And so developed from this inquiries to how this had come about. Now, if we take this along with us, and God has opened your eyes, there may well be some inquiries to how it's come about. How is it that you see things spiritually that you did not see at one time? Well, now, it may not be possible for you to answer that question. Now, this man, in our text, was quite clear about one thing. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Perhaps the most important two words in this text are these: I know. There was no doubt in the man's mind that a great change had been effected. And if God has opened our eyes spiritually, there will be no doubt in our souls that God has accomplished something in the most remarkable way. I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Let us now leave the general narrative, at least for the time being, and take a few points in regard to this remarkable change. It may be that all of us have read the scriptures from as early as we could read at all, and yet being born blind spiritually, there was nothing beautiful, nothing attractive in the scriptures at all. We might have memorized them, or some of them, and yet they meant nothing at all. I remember very well when I was a schoolboy that we had to learn by heart the Ten Commandments. And I managed to memorize these Ten Commandments, but the celebrity of them didn't touch my heart at all. The holiness of God reflected in them was not seen by me at all. But then the time came when my eyes were opened and I saw in the scriptures what I'd not seen before. I saw that there was a beauty in the scriptures that I had not seen before. Not only had light and a sight been given, but accompanying light. So the light shone upon the sacred pages and upon my soul, as it had an effect upon this man. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. We might make this point this evening. He didn't begin to talk about the beauties of nature. At least it's not recorded. He saw, and his mind, by reason of the inquiries, was immediately directed to the person who had opened his eyes. He could not say very much about this man. He knew his name was Jesus, but that was just a name. In our day, of course, we regard Jesus as the name of the Christ of God. In the scriptures we read of another man whose name was also Jesus, although he was called Justice. So strange though it may seem, Jesus was not just an isolated name. It was never used by anyone else. So, to this man whose eyes were opened, Jesus, that was a man's name. We find in the case of another blind man, I think mentioned in the Gospel according to the Mark, he was sitting by the wayside begging. And the noise of the passing crowd when Jesus was to come that way made him ask who it was. And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth passeth by." But he said, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, one saw only Jesus of Nazareth. The other saw, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." In other words, though he was blind outwardly, yet at that time he had a spiritual understanding, a spiritual sight of who this man was. The Lord can give us very quickly a clear vision and view of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. We might just touch upon the time after the man had been cast out of the synagogue, excommunicated, driven out of the church, not compatible with the church belief. He was cast out, but though he was cast out, God had not cast him off. And so Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? One thing he knew, that he was blind, but now he saw. And here is a second thing that he was to know. Now that Jesus was the Son of God. Who is he? Lord, that I might believe on him. And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and he it is that talketh with thee. And with such words proceeding from the mouth of the Lord, subsequently he could say, Surely, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, and now I see, and now is another thing that I know, not sought for, but the Lord revealed himself to me, and he told me that he was speaking to me, and therefore I know that this Lord Jesus is the Son of God. He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And the outcome? He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. He believed. Here was a great and glorious creator of heaven and earth, who had condescended to open his eyes, to form his eyes, to give him sight. And now, in a very special way, the Lord had appeared unto him and assured him that it was Jesus speaking to him. So, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. It is, as we may read in the scriptures of truth, and the scriptures of truth becomes a different book. For the most part, people regard the Holy Bible as just another book. But not the book. Not the most important of all books. The only book that can be trusted. The only book that will tell us the truth. The only book that will be a commentary on itself. So that in considering the scriptures, comparing the scriptures, our eyes may be open to see that this is the truth by comparing scripture with scripture. Emphasis is placed in some quarters of the importance of reading other people's thoughts and commentaries is a big help in coming to a knowledge of the scripture. I remember a godly minister who was a blessing to me many years ago, who only read the Bible. He didn't refer to any other book. His grandson told me that his grandfather only read the Bible. And he was a man of great gifts and blessing and great power in his preaching. But he only read the Bible. Now, one thing I know, and that whereas I was blind, now I see. Oh, how wonderful if God should show to us the Holy Scriptures in such a way that we can see that here is the truth, here is the fountain of life, here is the living word. And if aught there dark appear, bewail thy want of sight. No imperfection can be here, for all God's words are right. Whilst we look at the particular case here, let us also consider ourselves. One thing I know. Now, the suggestion of the natural mind, the suggestion of Satan, the suggestion of some people is that you must know a lot. I remember one person being seen by the deacons of a church, and the poor woman hadn't a great deal to say, and one of the deacons said, "Well, if that's all you can say, it's not worth proceeding." But do not be discouraged, because this man said, "One thing I know." And if you can say one thing that's absolutely solid ground, it will be sufficient, because if there's one thing, this is a start. This is an eternal start, so to speak, and this is a start that will lead you on to other greater things, as it was in this case. One thing, his eyes were opened. Another thing, the Lord revealed himself to this poor man. And so, are your eyes opened? Are my eyes opened to see anything, in the Scriptures? And then, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And let us consider the worship in the house of God, and the preaching of the word. Since we are born blind, generally speaking, the preaching of the word is set at naught. There are some living hearers in congregations, but sometimes there are critics. And the critics are pitting their intelligentsia, that is, their intellectual ability, against the grace that is given to the man to preach the truth. But the time comes, if our eyes are opened, when we see the preaching of the gospel differently. Now, when this happens, quite often, a mistaken thought occupies the mind. The man never used to preach like this. He's changed. But if it's examined, it's not the man that has changed. He's been preaching the same for years. But you have changed. Your heart has been changed. So one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I see there is something in the gospel. I see there is something in this means by which the Lord himself has decreed by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We find that the Apostle Paul himself, writing to the Romans, he says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, both blind, religious or intellectual, both blind, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" Now we should notice that this man, he couldn't call upon him until there was a revelation given. And then he worshipped him. And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? So, not only are our eyes opened, but ears are opened. And this is because God's nature is given to this newborn soul and has faculties of being able to rejoice in the truth. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So something new is seen and felt in the preaching of the gospel. The opening of the eyes, the opening of the ears, is only part of God's operation, because there will be closely allied the opening of the heart. We find that Lydia's heart was opened to receive the things that were spoken of Paul. This man's eyes were opened. Lydia's heart was opened. Another person's ears are opened. But the whole thing centers in this. Have we in any way had our faculties opened? I do not mean the natural faculties, but a spiritual faculty given to us. So, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. One thing I know, that where I was deaf, now I hear. One thing I know, where my heart was as hard as a nether millstone, yet now it is soft, and I am able to receive that great truth that I have despised before. So we find 29th of Isaiah, and in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. In that day, in that day when God performs a miracle, oh, what a day that is. Some of us know this already, and I trust that we may all know, if we do not know it already. Eyes opened, ears opened, hearts opened, to rejoice in the scriptures, and also to rejoice in the preaching of the gospel. But there is yet a more important point, and that is our attention in regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because after all, as John Newton says, paraphrasing one of the Lord's sentences, what think ye of Christ is the test to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. And the only way in which you can think, in which I can think rightly of him, is for our eyes to be opened, that we may see things in God's light, that we may be blessed with the grace of God that enables us to believe that this is the Son of God. Now, in order to this, there must be an experience. Of course, all people have experiences of all sorts of things. But when God brings us into the place to have an experience of his operation upon our soul, then it will be an experience indeed. You will not be able to deny, as this man could not deny, that he was still blind. Now, you may not see very clearly, but because there is another case in the scriptures of a man that had his eyes touched, and the Lord said to him, "What can you see?" He said, "I can see men as trees walking." In other words, he could see the outline, but he couldn't see the detail. Maybe many people that are not blind, no, God has opened their eyes, but they need a second application in order that they can perceive the depth which couches beneath. That man was taken out of the town into the country. And then the Lord put his hand a second time to this man's eyes, and then the man saw clearly. And sometimes we have to be taken from one place to another place, a place where perhaps we are not so interrupted as before. And then a clearer revelation is given of the beauties of our Lord Jesus Christ. So one thing I know, he was going to stick on that, and I would certainly say to all of you, any of you, if you've got one thing, you've got something. Yes, you've got one thing. God will not ask you at the day of judgment how many things have you got, but one thing. And this was satisfying to the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing. One little revelation. A little. If it come from thee, will be of great avail to me. One glance. Dr. Watts puts it like this: had I a glance of thee, my God, kingdoms and men would vanish soon. Vanish as though I saw them not, as a dim candle dies at noon. Now, have you had a thing like that? It may not have lasted very long, but I say, have you a thing like that? It was just a glance of God, but it was sufficient to blot everything else out. Or whether adversity was outward or inward, you saw just a glance of Jesus Christ. In the Song of Solomon, you may say, "Oh well, of course that's a very deep book." But, well, yes, it is mysterious in some things, but let me just draw your attention to the third chapter. "By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not." How was it that the soul, that her soul loved the Lord? Do you think that there is just a faint movement in your soul of love to the Lord? Now be assured of this, that if that is so, it didn't come from your nature. It came from God himself. But we go on. "The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth?" So if she was asking one of the watchmen as to whether he had seen him whom her soul loveth, then surely the Lord has opened her eyes to see something of a precious nature in the Lord Jesus Christ. "It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth." Now remember, if we are born blind, as we are, and thus we're blind spiritually from birth, there will be no attraction in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. All commencing with the words of our text, one thing I know, and that whereas I was blind, now I see. It may well be that the incident in the Song of Solomon was not coming forth from a father or mother in Israel, but in the youth of soul experience. And this has no connection with age, naturally. There was a delighting in the Lord. Oh, that you could find him. Are you inquiring? Are you inquiring of God? Perhaps you feel you dare not open your mouth to others, but are you asking of God? Where his beloved is? Oh, that thou would reveal them by thyself. Jesus, reveal thyself to me, is the line in one of our hymns. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, one thing I know, that where I had no feeling toward the Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, now I have a feeling. You will have to answer these questions yourself before God, but these are important things, and I want to stick on this. One thing. Oh, if you can say one thing. Do not I love thee, dearest Lord? Behold my heart and see, and tear each hated idol down that dares to rival thee. One thing, to have the eyes opened. And there's another point that will develop if God works this remarkable miracle of opening our eyes. There is, first of all, a drawing toward Jesus himself. Now, you'll see, this man couldn't say very much about Jesus at all. He knew that he had been healed in a most remarkable way, but he had yet for the Lord to come again. And you see, he came the same day. It wasn't a protracted time where he had to be in doubt and question for a few weeks or a few months or a few years. He came the same day, and he told this man who had opened his eyes. Has God opened your eyes in regard to spiritual things? And are you wondering who it is? Was it just a man that directed such an argument to your mind that you could say, yes, I can see that this was Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, but Jesus the Son of God, that's a very different matter. And now, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see that the people of God are journeying on to a place where they shall rejoice and be in the presence of God forever. You may have even said already, the people of God, they possess something. What it is, I don't know, but they possess something which I do not have at the moment. But you've got the beginning. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Are there small things? Remember, the word of God says, despise not the day of small things. We can so easily look at fleeting experiences, and Satan will certainly help you in this, and dismiss them as matters of little account. Do prize the least view and vision you have had of the Lord Jesus Christ that has touched your soul and has brought you to see, to know him is life eternal. Without him I must perish. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Is that true? Can you see? And what you see often has its reflection in our heart. Do you love the brethren? And those that are often despised by many people in religion. Or do you still love the brethren and the sisters? Because you can see that Christ is in them, the hope of glory. So, one thing I know, my thought viewing of the people of God, the church of God, is different from what it was. I now feel drawn to them because I've looked at them, I've watched them, and I've heard them sometimes speak of those glorious things as touching the King, and of speaking of his glorious majesty, of his condescension, of his love to poor sinners who cannot help themselves, to those who are ready to drop into the pit. Oh, to those who are ready to drop into the pit, yet who can tell but God will turn and be gracious unto me. And though my sins deserving hell are not despair, for who can tell? One thing I know. So then, why do we know that our eyes are opened? Because we see the scriptures differently. We see the truth differently. We see the gospel differently. We see the preaching of the gospel differently. We see there is something in Jesus Christ that we never saw before. And we see also that there is something in God's people that is desirable. With them numbered, may I be now and through eternity. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren, and we love the brethren when we love God and keep his commandments. So, seeing, because our eyes are opened, seeing, we may well see doctrine, experience, and practice. Our mind goes to the 12th chapter of the Hebrews, which opens, "Wherefore, seeing, we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Your eyes are opened, seeing. We are also accompanied, compassed with, about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. And without sight, we could not look unto Jesus. But it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. A sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. And here, yes, this man was a sinner, though this miracle worked upon him was for the glory of God. So that whilst others were disputing about the person of Christ, he says, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But I will not be diverted from this point. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. We leave the few remarks in the hand of God. Oh, that he may make the application that will glorify his great name. Amen.